Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
I see a church where the vision and the mission are clear, consistent, contagious, and progressive. I see a church that is Bible-based, Christ-centered, kingdom-minded, making disciples, and Holy Spirit empowered. A church that loves God by loving people and serves God by serving people. I see a church that is generously living and giving and is built on the sacrifices of many and not just a few. A church that counts the cost, pays the price, and preaches its best messages through what we do and not just by what we say. I see a church that becomes a growing spiritual family, a church where transformation not only comes to their generation, but positively alters the course of the generations to come.
And so there must be a change in your life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The child of God, a change has taken place. Oh, give your life to Jesus Christ and let him live in you and be a shining witness for Christ. Become salt in your community. Become a light in your community. Let the people know where you stand for Christ. The Bible teaches that the church is like a vine with its many branches. It's like living stones built together, members of the body of Christ all knit together.
Come on, let's give Jesus a mighty hand of praise. He is our Lord. He is our King. We thank him so much. Were you blessed by our African choir this morning? Well, you're going to be blessed again at the end of our service today because we're going to finish with some crazy praise. And so I just want to prepare you right now to get your dancing shoes on. And our African choir know that I have a particular favorite song that they sing. And they're going to finish with that today. And it's going to be so, so good. There were a few songs that I had not heard before today. And they were fantastic. I particularly loved that worship song. Yeah, that just spoke about who God is. I don't know about you, but I could feel the presence of God and the Holy Spirit moving amongst us here today. I actually want to speak this out, that I really did feel the healing, anointing power of the Holy Spirit, not just touching lives physically, but also emotionally. Because, you know, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him because the Holy Spirit had anointed him to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted. And I really do believe that throughout this message today and for the remainder of our service, that God is going to give you a great breakthrough. Can you say amen if you believe it here today? And I just want to ask before I get into it today, is anyone here celebrating a birthday? Put your hand up if you're celebrating a birthday today. Paul Ianotta. Paul, why don't you stand up for a moment? Go on, just stand up. No, go on, stand up, Paul, so that everyone can see you. Oh, there we can see you. Oh, there he is. Now he's standing on the chair. Happy 52nd birthday, Paul. 52? No way. I want to see your passport when we go to Africa and the Philippines. I can't believe that you're 52. Unbelievable. You hold your age so well. Must be all of those Mediterranean and Kamata olives. I don't know. Is that how you say Kamata? Whatever. It's the oil in your skin that is preserving you so well. Well, hello family, and I do want to say thank you so much again for making a good decision today in coming along to the house of God to hear the word of God. I actually also want to welcome and thank all of those who are tuning in to this podcast. And I don't know about you, but I just also feel to say that what God is doing here is actually bigger than what's happening here. Even in this service right now, forgetting about those who are tuning in across the world to this podcast, God is actually doing something in you, and He wants to do something through you that is going to touch the generations. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something. God is wanting to do something that is exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond all you and I can dream or imagine. And I want to welcome those who are tuning in, particularly those from the states of Oklahoma and New York in America. I just want to say to those two states, if you're listening right now, what I would appreciate is if you would go to our webpage, hit the contacts tab, and email us about how you got in touch with us and what these podcasts mean to you. It's pretty cool, don't you think? We're getting a number of podcast downloads from Oklahoma and New York City. Does anyone know anyone from the states of Oklahoma? Your sister, is that right? She lives in Oklahoma. Praise God. Well, anyway, if you're listening to this, please still email us. We've also got some new downloads from Hong Kong. And I know konnichiwa is not appropriate right now, but that's all I've got. And also France, which is kind of interesting because I'm 3% French. Yeah, so I can see the connection there. 3% French. Croissant. Yeah. We also want to say thank you and welcome to our friends in Davao City, Panabu City, Nabunturan City in the Philippines, and of course, Okara City in Pakistan. Come on, let's give them just all a welcome, a gateway welcome. Praise God. Welcome to part 12 in my Heart, My House series. Welcome to the series, which is primarily all about each member of God's house taking personal responsibility for their own heart and for the house of God that God has called each one of us to here at Gateway Life Church. Our Heavenly Father, this is what I believe God's put in my heart. And the last time that I preached, a couple of weeks ago, I just really felt that God was speaking to me along these lines. And our Heavenly Father wants us to know that He's not like an earthly dad, because an earthly dad can be physically present in the house, but emotionally disengaged and absent from the family. And I believe to a lesser or greater degree, we've all experienced that on some level. You can be sitting there with someone and physically you're present with someone or others in the house, but you're not necessarily emotionally engaged. But our Heavenly Father, He wants you to know that He's not only in the house, but that He always has something loving and liberating to say, because our God is a speaking God. Amen. Our God is a speaking God. And I really feel that God wants to speak to us about Him wanting to speak to us. And the story that I'm going to share with you today takes place in the house of God, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and it's where Eli, the priest, is training a young boy named Samuel, who is about 12 years of age, and Samuel is being trained for the ministry. Eli, his leader, who is old and advanced in years, is a leader and a mentor to Samuel, catch this, and Samuel, a 12-year-old boy, is being trained up for the ministry. It's one of the reasons why we have a Gateway Kids ministry, and you know, to train them up, not just today, but for the future. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, we read, Samuel, a 12-year-old boy, ministered before the Lord. He was a child, and he wore a linen ephod. In case you don't know, an ephod was a sleeveless garment. We've got that on the screen, which was worn primarily by the Jewish priests. And what I love about this picture is that Eli is a great mentor. And Eli is providing an opportunity. Eli is providing a space for a young 12-year-old boy in Samuel to walk and to learn how to walk in a priestly fashion. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what we got to keep on doing as a church here in Gateway, when it comes to Gateway kids and youth and young adults and the generations, is continually provide a space for the next generation to learn how to walk and how to talk and how to carry the responsibility of the ministry into the next generation. Can I get an amen on that this morning? And by the way, Samuel's mother, Hannah, let's remember that Hannah had dedicated Samuel to the Lord's service as a baby. And, you know, if you've been a part of one of our baby dedication services, if you're a parent here today, then you would always hear the passage that I'm going to read to you read out to you right now, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 22. And it says, Hannah said to her husband, after the boy Samuel is weaned, I will take him and dedicate him to the Lord's service. And so she had promised that if the Lord were going to give her a son, that she would give him back to the Lord to serve God for all the days of his life. And we're not only seeing a parent keeping their promise, but also the fruits of that promise coming to pass, because Samuel is in the house as a 12-year-old and he's been trained up in the ministry. I just want to take a moment right there to remind every parent that if you have had your child or your children dedicated on this platform or elsewhere, when you stood on this platform and said yes to committing yourselves to raising your child or your children in the ways of God, let me tell you, that is a promise that you've got to keep. You can't stand on this platform and say, yes, I promise to commit myself to raising up my child in the ways of God to the best of my God-given ability. You can't stand on this platform and say yes to that, but then not follow through, because there are consequences. You got to understand there's consequences when it comes to what you say yes and no to in life. And that's not just for every parent. That's for everyone listening to my voice today. You got to keep on saying yes to the right things, to the way that you talk, to the way that you walk, to the way that you think. We got to keep on saying yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. And so we're seeing the fruit. I want you to just keep that in mind as I continue with this story today. Hannah made a promise and she kept it. And what you're going to witness throughout this whole story in my brief message today are the results of a mother who not only dedicated herself as a parent to God, to raising up a child in the ways of God, but we're all going to see, also going to see the fruit of that decision. And so we pick it up now in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We've looked at chapter 1, chapter 2. Now we're going to check out chapter 3. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 to 10 also forms Gateway Word of the Week, which is posted every Monday morning on the Gateway Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter. Anyone using Twitter these days? Put your hand up. It's a growing medium. Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, that his eyes began to grow so dim that he could not see, before the lamp of God went out in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. Let me pause there for a moment and just set a bit of a scene for you. Let's just be aware that they are in the house of God. Eli is in the house. Samuel is in the house of God. And it also says that the Ark of the Covenant, which represented back in the Old Testament the presence and the power of God, it too is in the house. Verse 5. So Samuel ran to Eli, his mentor, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli said, "I did not call. Go and lie down." And he went and lay down. Verse 6, then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, I did not call you my son. Go lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Keep in mind, though, that God raises up Samuel to be a prophet to the nations. In this particular part of the story, the word of God was not yet revealed to him. Amazing. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. You did call me. I just want to take a break right there for a moment and say that a part of this story is about Eli transitioning out of his ministry role as he now begins to prepare Samuel to transition into the role. And I want to say prophetically right now that there are certain roles here at Gateway that I want to transition out of. I don't want anyone to think that I'm wanting to leave Gateway because Gateway is my home. Gateway is the place that God has called me to lead. Aubrey Wodonga is my home. There's no changing that. My wife and I, we love, supernaturally love this place. But I really do believe that as time goes on, God is wanting to prepare Gateway Life Church for greater influence and impact. And the only way that that can happen is if I begin to transition out of certain roles here at Gateway and begin to believe God for people that He would highlight who could also transition into roles. And so for me, this is not just bringing about a teaching today. This teaching is prophetic by nature. It's what God is actually wanting to reveal to us. There are certain roles that I need to transition out of. There are certain roles that perhaps some others here also need to transition out of to create a space for others to transition into. And this is how we're going to grow in our influence and in our impact as a church across the world. Now, here's the deal. I don't know who necessarily is going to self-select when it comes to transitioning into certain roles that I'm going to create. But let me just say that as we go on in this story today, that there are three things that I'm going to share at the end of my message, which are lessons that we can learn from Samuel. It's also a story about Samuel moving forward and transitioning from a boy to a man, and also stepping into a new level of responsibility. And what God is about to do in Samuel's life in this story is going to come through an instruction from his leader, his pastor, his mentor, Eli. But here's the flip side. The fulfillment of what Eli has labored so long for so many years, is about to be continued and passed on and through Samuel's ministry. And here's the point. Whatever God is about to do successfully in and through your life is actually going to come through the success of your ministry, relationships, and connections. Because you see, Samuel needs Eli, but Eli also needs Samuel. Eli is transitioning out, and Samuel is about to transition in. And this is why we need the generations here working together. Okay, second part of verse 8. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Hey, praise God for perceptive leaders, amen, who can see when and where God is moving in people's lives. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down again, and it shall be that if he calls you, that you must say, here's the thing, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called out, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel, because he was receptive to his leader's instruction, said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. You know, God is speaking all the time. We're just not always listening. And perhaps we're not just as tuned in as we ought to be because we're so tuned in to so many other voices. But this one instruction from Eli, this one point, this one instruction from Eli significantly launched Samuel into the next step of his destiny and ministry. And if you're someone who wants to grow in the things of God, if you want to continue to move forward and fulfill your destiny from destiny to destiny to destiny to destiny, because there's a lot of destinies, isn't there? We don't just reach a destination and say, well, here I am and that's it. No, no, no. We can only say that on the other side of this life. When we get to eternity, that's our final destination. But whilst on the earth, we go from destiny to destiny, from destination to destination to destination, from one new level to the next. And if you're someone here who wants to grow in the things of God, then we need to, number one, when we begin to hear God speak to us, that we say, Lord, speak, for your servant hears. And in addition to that, we've got to not only listen, but obey. That one instruction. Let's take a look for a few moments what was on the other side of Samuel's response to God when he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Let's take a look. This one. Remember, he's 12 years of age when this took place. Let's take a look what happens on the other side of Samuel repeatedly saying throughout all of his life, because you can be rest assured, this is what he did for the rest of his life. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I would venture to say this was not a once-off recording, but he did this all the days of his life. Samuel, he later steps into the office of the prophet. He goes on to write two books of the Bible, 1 and 2 Samuel. He anoints the first two kings of Israel, being Saul and David. He is remembered for leading the greatest Passovers, declaring history-making prophecies, and is mentioned amongst Moses and Aaron as prayer warriors, and he is also mentioned in the New Testament. And so, very quickly, three ways to move into your destiny according to this story. Point number one, three ways to move into your destiny according to this story. Point number one, Samuel was residing in the house. In other words, he was reachable. Because he was reachable, he was available. Have you ever tried to talk to someone in your house who was not there? Have you ever asked somebody in your house to do something who was not there? It's like, of course not. Why is that? Because they're not available. And I want to tell you one of the things that I look for when it comes to appointing leaders for the future and empowering others is their level of availability and also their level of responsiveness, their reachability. No point sending out a message or asking someone to do something and they never respond. The way forward is good, clear, ongoing communications. And so you've got to be present, you've got to be available. And because Samuel was residing in the house, he was in God's house, he was able to hear the instructions of Eli. And I want to say that, you know, whatever voices we surround ourselves with the most in life will be the same internal voices that speak to us the most, either positively or negatively. Have you ever been in a situation where your thoughts have sounded like the voice of your dad, or the voice of your mama, or the voice of a peer, or perhaps even that voice that has been especially critical in your life? You know, you've been in a situation, you've been wanting to do something, and you can hear the sound of a voice which sounded like someone in your past. We all know what I'm talking about here today. Well, I just want to ask, have you ever stopped and asked yourself, whose voice is that? Why don't you just pause occasionally and say, whose voice is that? Because I would venture to say most of the time, it's not your voice. It's the voice of someone in your past that perhaps have legalistically, you know, spoken something negative or critical or judgmental in your life. And sometimes for some of us, it's like wherever we go, so goes that voice. But you know, there's a reason why God said in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, there's a reason why God asked the question of Adam, who told you that? Who spoke? Whose voice did you hear when you did that or when you believed that? And I just believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to set somebody free from this moment on, to ask yourself to pause and to be okay with asking, whose voice is that? Why don't you ask yourself and define it? Is it your voice? Is it God's voice? Is it the devil's voice? Or is it a voice of someone in your past? Just qualify it and then keep on moving forward. You know, who and what you're connected to is caught. Whoever and whatever you're connected to is caught, and it will either limit or liberate your calling. And I want to say that I distance myself from anyone or any voice that would limit my calling. I want to surround myself with people, and you ought to want to surround yourself with people who liberate you all the more into your calling. Because the most important calling in your life is the calling of God, and you want to surround yourself with people who liberate you and not limit you. Just a thought. It's also interesting to me that when God, catch this, when God was first calling Samuel, it didn't sound all that strange to him. It actually sounded so familiar that without hesitation, Samuel ran to Eli. He thought that it was Eli calling him. Who was calling him? It was God. And so the point that I believe that I just need to make right here is that sometimes God's voice can sound more familiar than we think. I think that sometimes people can expect God to sound like a thundering voice, like God's call upon Moses from the burning bush. And I'm sorry to burst anyone's romantic faith bubble right now, but most of the time, God's voice is going to sound like Eli. God's voice could possibly even sound like mine or someone that you admire. But remember, as long as the voice liberates you and doesn't limit you. So point number one, Samuel was residing in the house. He was reachable and available. Point number two, Samuel was ready to love and serve. You know, it's when God called Samuel, the first encounter there that we read about when God calls Samuel is that he runs to Eli. He ran to his mentor. And I want to encourage you to always run to an opportunity here to love and serve. Don't delay, run to the opportunity. It's like we need something done. We need some volunteers. We need some people to love and serve God by loving and serving people. Stand up and run to the opportunity and don't miss it. Point number three, Samuel was receptive to Eli's leadership. He responded to God under the instruction of Eli when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." I just want to invite our African choir to come. And what I want to do for a few moments is actually just talk about an opportunity, another door that has opened up to us here at Gateway Life Church. Most of you would know that we're heading off to Africa and to the Philippines in October. We're going to be visiting four cities, Nairobi City in Africa, Davao City, Panabu, and Nabunturan City in the Philippines. Well, something else has opened up to us, and it's in the nation of Pakistan. What I'm going to do in a few moments' time is actually show you a video from a pastor by the name of Pastor Sharif Cortez. And I had the honor of actually ministering in his church online a couple of Sundays ago. And so if we could just go to the first slide up there. Thank you. So on the left, that's Pastor Sharif Cortez. And I just want to say that they, as a church, are wanting to partner more significantly and regularly with us here at Gateway Life Church, which is really, really cool. So I'm speaking to Pakistan on about three or four occasions a week at the moment, just bringing some encouragement and leadership development and discipleship and things like that. It's pretty cool. So here's the deal. I really do believe this, that so goes the leader, so goes the people. And what's on me, God is wanting to put on us. And that's how it goes, okay? And, you know, there will be people who come to this house and think, yeah, I want to be a part of that, or I don't want to be a part of that. It's all okay. But so goes the leader, so goes the house, so goes the family, in that sense, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's all under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But this is what God has put in my heart. And this is what God has wanted me to put out there. All I want to do right now is just put vision out there. Put mission out there. And just see what God does with it all. But what I want to do right now, we'll pray in a moment. But we're going to take a look at a video. It's about a 3-minute video from Pastor Sharif Cortez. The audio isn't all that great. But just hopefully we can, you know, that'll come through okay. So let's take a look at the screen. Thank you.
I am Pastor Sharif from Pakistan with Brother Jasan, and he preached in our church about the Holy Spirit, and that was very powerful sermon for us and for my church. He preached about the Holy Spirit and power and healing and salvation, and that was really amazing for me. After that, I would like to tell you when he preached and prayed for the sick people, God answered the prayer right now.
Can you please put up your hand if you have been healed or gotten a breakthrough, and could you please tell us all about it? Look at this.
He gives more love for Pakistan, so I want us, you viewers, to work with Gateway Life Church Ministry with all honest from our heart, and we need your prayer and more your love and support so we can do more work in Pakistan.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer today, can you please lift up your hand if you got your life right with God? Wow.
So please give us your love and prayer. We can save many souls, and many prayer, and many children in Pakistan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. How does that happen? Like, let me share with you. I did not see that coming. We're focusing on Africa. We're focusing on the Philippines. Fiji is also on our radar, and you know, I really don't know how we're going to do it all. I guess I have an idea. One idea is the fact that we need more people, okay? And but Pakistan came out of nowhere, and my brother Ace just said to me just then before I got up, he says it's like wow. He said it's like they're hungry for it. They're waiting. They've been waiting. They're hungry. That's what he picked up as he was listening to Pastor Sharif. And I said, what you said is so true. They're hungry. I really got to say, I don't know how this happened with Pakistan, but it's happened. And one of the, can I say this? I don't like to use this word, worst, but one of the worst things that we could do is not talk about it, because this is in the heart of God. And this is what partly this whole series is all about. My heart, my house. My heart, my responsibility. To be a part of what God is doing throughout all of the earth. And so, like I said, I'm talking to these guys about three, four times a week. And that's not including the times that, you know, they just message me sending love and blessings. And I hope that you are well, you know, dear man of God and dear pastor and things like that. But it's a beautiful thing. So it's pretty cool. Hey, I think it's pretty cool. I'll run to that opportunity. I'm so ready for this. We're going to do this. And so I tell you what, you encourage me and that'll encourage, you know, me to do what I got to do. I'll bring back the report and encourage you with the things that Jesus has done. Not what I have done. Not even what we have done, but what Jesus has done through us as a church, because we said yes to the call of God, because we ran promptly, because we didn't take 1 month, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years to respond to the call of God. It's the now word of the Lord. There's a reason why it's called the now word of the Lord. It means do something now. He doesn't speak now and then says, hey, and a part of the prophecy is respond in 10 years' time. No, no. It's the now word of the Lord to give of our time, of our treasure, and of our talent. Amen? Come on, let's stand in the presence of God. Now is the time to say yes to Jesus. I want to give someone the opportunity today to respond to Jesus. This call is for those who have never responded or acknowledged Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this call is for those who, for whatever reason, have strayed, as it were, from the faith. You know, I want to say this because I've got time and I feel it's appropriate. I hope my brother doesn't mind me saying what I'm about to say. But it's a metaphor and it's a good illustration. You see, so my brother Ace, he's a personal trainer. He's my personal trainer now. And so he's helping me. He's educating me around nutrition and around exercise, okay? And I'm learning so much. And a little bit of a funny story. When we get together for a session, I use it as an opportunity to ask him random questions about nutrition. And I might ask him something like, for example, because you see, he's given me a plan, a nutrition plan. And the purpose of the plan is to stick to the plan. But as I learn a little bit more about nutrition, sometimes I have picked up some things from other voices, other nutritionists. And so cutting a long story short, when I'm with him, I say, hey, I heard this from someone else. Can I add that or include that to my nutrition plan? And long story short, there was a moment there on Friday where he laughed and he said, is that what we talked about? I'm just paraphrasing it for you right now. I'm looking for other things that I think may improve the nutrition plan. It's not rubbish food or anything like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, is that what we discussed? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. But we joke around like that. It's pretty funny. What's the point of the story? Got to stick to the plan. And sometimes there are other voices out there that want to influence us, what we might think looks good and sounds good, but it isn't good and it isn't God. Stick to the plan. And so this is why I say this prayer, this invitation that I'm giving right now is also for those who have gone a little bit off course with God's ways and you need to come back. And so if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer after me. And I'm going to pray a line and I'll invite you to pray after me. Would you do that today if you know that I'm talking to you? Are you ready? Dear Father in heaven, I come back to you today and I ask you to forgive me for going astray. I acknowledge afresh this day that you are my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all wrongdoing. Help me to be now the person you have destined me to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you lift up your hand if that's you today? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Come on, give them a hand. Who else? Who else prayed that prayer? To my left. Thank you so much. Who else to my right? Amen. Let's pray. We're a praying church. Amen. Father, I thank you for everyone who responded today. And I thank you now for your Holy Spirit to not only come upon them, but everyone, both here and listening online. Thank you for the anointing of the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to touch every life, to grace them, to strengthen them, to set them free, to liberate them. Surely where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is liberty. There is freedom, and I thank you for freedom in our heart, freedom in our voice, freedom in our body, and freedom in our feet as we begin to close in a few moments with some crazy praise. And Father, I also pray for the nations of Pakistan, the Philippines, Africa, Fiji, and India. Father, we thank you, and that, Lord, you would continue to lead us and with wisdom and with grace and with love in our hearts, all to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Can I get a big amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.